straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first on Second Thought.
Welcome back to our little podcast. This is On Second Thought, episode 114, brought to you by Hook'em.com and our friends at Bud Light. My name is Cedric Golden, and I'm joined here by Taylor's favorite duck, Kirk Bowles. Post-OU, is it a hangover?
No, it's not.
Hangovers hurt, so this isn't a hangover.
Hey, I had my corny dog, had a beer.
I did, too. And what else did we have?
We had some catfish.
Oh, catfish Floyd's. Oh,
but I didn't get the taffy this time.
You didn't need the taffy.
No,
your kids
I didn't
are all in their 30s.
Saltwater taffy. That used to be my tradition, but
let me tell you, the Texas Longhorns are 5-1. Who'd have thunk it after Maryland? We thought they were bad. 5-1, 3-0 in the Big 12, leading the Big 12, beat the Oklahoma Sooners 48-45. Sam Ellinger is a man now.
Yes, he is.
That defense bent at the end, but ultimately didn't break. Just win, baby, and that's what they did.
You know, I picked them to win. You know that.
You did pick them to win. I did not pick them to win.
It's about the only game I got right, I think, last week. But
and that's a good one to get right. And before we get to our guest, Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports, I'm going to tell you, I am a believer now in the Texas Longhorns. I didn't think they had it in them to win a close game against a great offense that is OU.
And almost didn't.
And the only reason that I picked OU is because when it's a close game, and I had it a three-point game, 34-31 OU, the difference for me is always quarterback. Who has the better quarterback?
Right.
And Kyler Murray, I think, going in, is the better quarterback. Guess what? Kyler turned it over twice, and Sam Ellinger played clean.
Well, the reason I picked Texas was I was a strong believer in how bad Oklahoma's defense was.
You're right.
And is. It cost Mike Stoops his job. Two, it's a rivalry game, and we all know anything can happen. And three, you know, Tom's now 2-1 against Oklahoma with a five-point loss last year where they led in the fourth quarter. So
he knows how to coach against OU.
He knows how to coach against OU and in big games. Maryland maybe apparently wasn't that big a game, but you get a game circled, and I think Herman and his staff have shown they can put together a pretty good game plan.
And they have, and things are clicking. The good thing, and I've always the great Augie Garrido always told me this, and so did Mac Brown, you can always coach them harder after a win,
sure.
After a big win.
Absolutely.
And now that they've conquered Oklahoma, I think they can go to work, and Tom and Todd Orlando can go, why do we give up 21 unanswered points late in that game?
But I understand that because, like you mentioned, Kyler Murray, he's a
special
quarterback.
Special.
And, you know, your whole mode changes. Like, just stay in the game. Be steady. Don't take wild chances. Trouble is, you know, Kyler Murray can just make something out of nothing like he did on that long touchdown run, and then before you know it, they had all the momentum. But I give Texas a ton of credit for that last drive when a lot of teams might have just puckered up like, oh, crap. OU just scored 21 points and something like 10 plays, and they've got all the momentum. And it would have been easy to gotten really uptight. But Ellinger and that offense didn't. Went right down the field. Dicker, the kicker, clutch kick. So it's all good right now.
It's all good right now. And four games in a row, the offense has needed to do something at the end of the game, whether it be run off the clock,
yeah,
or get the win.
They're taking
and
knees.
They're
kicking a winning field goal.
Sam Ellinger has made all the right decisions. The maturation of Sam Ellinger, it to me, is the story of this season.
He's just taken so many
strides. He's gone from an average quarterback to a good quarterback, and that's a big jump. This is Big 12 is known for good quarterbacking. And he's played as well as anyone in this conference. Kyler Murray was as good as advertised.
Mm-hmm.
He blinked twice, and it cost him the win. Could you believe how emotional Kyler was after that game, Duck? He was was near tears.
He was. It was over the top, inconsolable.
And surly. And a little surly.
A little surly, as Sam Ellinger found out on the field. So even though I don't think Texas should want a rematch, it sure sounds delicious. And, boy, can you imagine the buildup? If
Jerry
that
World
was coming,
at Jerry World.
Oh my goodness!
Are you kidding me? 80,000 strong.
Oklahoma would be seeing red.
They'll be seeing red. Texas. Texas was really, the players were really diplomatic afterwards, and they kind of know that they may see the Sooners again.
Oh, yeah.
Do you really think West Virginia is going to stand between Texas and OU rematch?
They get OU in Morgantown, so that's one good thing they have, and OU hadn't played TCU yet, so... You know, if I'm a Texas fan, I'm rooting like crazy for West Virginia. I don't want anything to do with Oklahoma till next October.
No. I think I take my chance. I like Will Grier, but I take my chances with Will Grier over a Kyler Murray.
Absolutely.
The Longhorns host Baylor, 2:30 p.m. Saturday at DKR. Matt Rhule has those Bears at 4-2 in conference. Couple of conference wins.
So how can Texas
over some teams from Kansas? They're better. And they cannot be flat because I just think their brand of ball, which is low risk type physical football, plays well in a game that could be a letdown game. I'm not as concerned about the offense as I am about the defense. Charlie Brewer, Jalen Hurd, Jermichael Hasty, those guys are not they're no joke.
No,
those guys
not.
Are used to being successful offensively. So I'm wondering how that secondary is going to react because I know Baylor's going to take some shots. They got nothing to lose, Doug.
Yeah, absolutely. And Matt Rhule's looking for those signature wins that can speak to recruits who might want to come to Baylor. And Texas is just trying to take care of business. And I don't know. Let me ask you this. You know, I played football in high school. You played sports. And it's like, man, I was up for every game. I've never really understood the fact, we just didn't care. Yeah. In football, and college football, you get 12 chances. You know, before bowl games or playoffs, 12. To me, that's not asking too much to be up. And the excitement level is unlike anything we've seen around here since 09.
Exactly. And one thing that I'll say that's different from the time that we were growing up is these guys have a lot more distractions off the field. We didn't have to deal with social media. We didn't have to go check our mentions.
It's a head game.
It's a head game. There wasn't a sports center that was right. prevalent. There wasn't 24-hour college football when
but
we were
growing
up.
But you know what? You're a Longhorn player. Do you watch in Sports Center?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you listening to the radio?
Absolutely. Are you reading the paper?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're checking Twitter?
And you
absolutely.
Know what? It's like, I understand it's not healthy and it's the poison cheese and all that, but you want to enjoy it. You want to savor this.
It's
thing.
A nice ride.
It
and
is.
Why not enjoy it? This is a great time for a young person is 21, 22 years old. You just beat Oklahoma and the whole world loves you. You're enjoying your city. You're enjoying all the accolades
exactly.
that come with to the victor goes the spoils, dog.
Just
you're
don't
enjoying
enjoy
all
it
of that.
Too much.
Yeah, because Baylor's coming after you.
Enjoy it on Sunday to Friday.
Enjoy it Sunday to Friday. Get ready for Baylor. And you know what? Texas, if things fall right and if they keep winning, they could end up in the college football playoff.
They actually could.
They actually could. And, you know, since we're talking CFP, we brought in Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports to talk about just that scenario. How do the Longhorns stack up long term? Are they a CFP team? Check out Dennis Dodd on Second Thought. Joining us via phone, one of our favorite CBS Sports college football writer extraordinaire, Dennis Dodd, on the line. What's up, brother?
How are you guys? It was so nice to see you guys Saturday in the sauna that was the college.
That was hot. That was sauna.
And that was a hot game, too.
Oh, remember just walking there, 11 a.m. game, walking there at 9 a.m., you almost need to change clothes once you got to the press box.
Well, you didn't, but me and Dennis are usually in suits.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah,
right.
So it's even a lot worse. And even me being fat, Dennis was like 160 soaking wet. So, yeah, my jacket was khaki at 9, but by 3 o'clock it was gray.
You guys were styling, I'm telling you. No, that was a fun day. And if you had to look back on that Texas OU game, Dennis, what jumps out at you now as you've had a few days to digest what we saw?
Well, just the biggest thing that we all wrote about, that the Texas is back. You know, they weren't going to be back until they beat OU. And that OU and Texas matter again in the Big 12.
We've had
discussions for a decade. It's like nothing's going to happen unless OU and Texas are good together.
Right.
And this proves it. So I think that was the biggest takeaway.
You know, and Dennis, I know people in Fort Worth and Waco were mad at Kirk and I for writing it, but when TCU and Baylor got passed over by the CFP and Ohio State got in there, I wrote it never would have happened if that had been Texas and Oklahoma sitting there on the outside. Those teams would have gotten in. The Big 12 is better when the big dogs are barking the loudest. What do you think the upside of Texas is? I mean, the schedule, they got to go to Lubbock. That's never easy. They got West Virginia coming in. What do you think their upside is? Can they get to double-digit wins? Can they make some real noise in the CFP?
Yeah, I mean, they almost have a better – they would have a better resume, I guess, than Oklahoma if they won out.
Right.
With the discussion point being, you know, Pac-12, Big 12. Mm-hmm. Are they going to get left out? Mm-hmm. If you beat Oklahoma twice, and Oklahoma at that point, if they keep winning, would be top five as well. If you do that twice along with already beating three ranked teams to this point, you're in pretty good shape.
And presumably beating West Virginia too, right?
And beating West Virginia to get to that point. So yeah, I mean, I think they'd be in a really, really good position, maybe more than a little bit more than OU.
Well, and you're right, because of the non-conference schedule, Texas at least has the win over brand name Southern Cal, which is down, but it's still Southern Cal. And I think they're favored over Colorado, so, you know, that's not a bad team. And obviously they beat TCU. And to having beat TCU and Oklahoma already, and you're only halfway through the schedule, that's a big shot in the arm for Texas, isn't it?
That's my point. And it will resonate with the committee that they went out and got that USC series.
You know, right.
We keep hearing so much about non-conference and strength of schedule. It will also resonate with the committee, if it comes to that, how much Oklahoma struggled with Army.
Mm-hmm.
I think Army's
right.
Back in their own little way. I think Jeff Monken's done a great job.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a team that is physically not as good as Oklahoma. And I thought that was one of the biggest nails in Mike Stoops' coffin, not the fact that they necessarily played close or struggled with the option, but they let him have the ball for 44 minutes.
Really, that's absurd.
You can't just sit there and, you know, you got to stop them at some point. And that was really, really bad. So, no, I think all that's in play. You're right.
And the whole Mike Stoops era came to an end. Does that suggest panic to you about Lincoln Riley, or does it just say he just should have done this in the off season and gotten it out of the way?
I thought it might happen after this season. There was enough cover there. There was enough time separating him from Bob Stoops. But doing it now, it's not so much panic, is that we've got to do something now, at least to just line up right, because mm-hmm. we still have a lot at stake. You know, they
right.
may not control everything, but they still have a playoff berth at stake, and they may have blown it against Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was at the Georgia game in the playoff, and there were times in the second half they weren't even lining up right.
Mm.
I could see it from the press box. I'm not a skilled observer of the game to know that, but I could see that. And so, yeah, then to have it happen in the biggest game of the season, I think was untenable, really.
You know, you were at that presser, at post-game presser, as were we, and you look up and you see Kyler Murray, I mean, almost about to cry. Almost
he was
in
broken.
Tears.
He was broken.
I asked him what happened, you know, what was the exchange with Sam Ehlinger, and this was before we all knew that there was harsh words spoken, and he looked at me and said, I'm not going to comment on that. Did you get the sense that he knew that this was his first and last chance at the Longhorns as the OU quarterback, and that he will be moving on to baseball after the season?
Yeah. I don't think there's any question he's going to move on to baseball.
Right.
There's a reason he signed for $5 million, so he doesn't have to put the wear and tear on his body. But he also realizes how big that game is, and that may be his one shot. You know, we're sitting here talking, it may be a rematch, but there might not be. And that might have cost them the season. He did kind of tear up or got emotional when he was asked about those turnovers.
He did.
There's a great picture on the front page of the of the Tulsa World on Sunday featuring yours truly, With him kneeling at the 1 yard line, looking at the ground, I just happened to be in the background.
I like it.
Talking to the Oklahoma trainer. I'm told we love Baker. Baker was great. Baker was outgoing. Baker got out of a sick bed at the playoff to come talk to the media. I'm not at the end of all this. I don't think Kyler Murray is particularly enamored with talking to 100
oh,
people.
Yeah.
No,
he's not.
Yeah. You're putting it mildly, I think. No, he doesn't relish all that interaction
with the media. Came across as a bit entitled,
It came across as spoiled, I really thought. Here's a guy that's lost, twice since middle school?
In his life,
You know, you need to have some little bit of humble pie and be a little
classier. Yeah, this is how it feels, and a lot of people feel this every week.
Absolutely. And like you say, possibility of a rematch. If I'm Texas, I want nothing to do with Oklahoma again. You got nothing to gain, do you?
No, you don't. Like we just said, I think they've done enough. They've proven enough.
If they
run the table, you're playing a team that, yes, is going to enhance your resume, but has every motivation in the world. You know, hey, we had them. We should have beat them. We turned it over too much. We did this. We did that. And thinking in their minds, we're the better team, let's prove it, that's what you go up against. Where Texas is sitting there going, well, we've already done that. Why should we have to play these guys again? Subconsciously.
They get that 13th data point, but that's about it.
That's huge for the Big 12 and for those teams, but they really don't have anything to prove if they get to that point.
Right, and speaking of that, does Notre Dame play on that last weekend, or will they be off that weekend?
No, they don't. In fact, I'm in the middle of writing a story about that. You know, for the first time since 2012, when they were really the only other team that could have played Alabama because they were undefeated, this is different.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of being looked at sideways, being this possibly 12-0 team that could take a spot from a Power 5 conference. They don't have to risk it all with a 13th game, you know. What? And I think there's some. I talked to a Power 5 commissioner about that, and he referred me to the protocol. And the playoff protocol, bullet one, says when teams are comparable, the first tiebreaker should be championships won.
Mm-hmm.
I know what he was saying. Notre Dame can't play for a championship.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So there's the problem is
that's gonna be a thing going forward.
Say it's Texas, they'd be 12-1 if they beat West Virginia or Oklahoma again, run the table. So it'd be 12-1 versus 12-0
with 5 wins over ranked teams. Texas,
but maybe Notre Dame doesn't have that championship. Which way do you think they would fall? What side of the coin would they fall, Dennis?
Here's the big picture: 12-0 Notre Dame compared with the 12-1 Georgia that loses the SEC championship game by a field goal.
Okay.
An undefeated Ohio State, or maybe a 12-1 Ohio State, which clearly the class of the Big Ten. Whatever the Pac-12 does, if they have a one-loss champion, if they have two, they're out of it. All of that, and Texas sitting there with two wins over. Now, they beat the team twice.
Right.
Right. And Clemson.
Yeah. And Clemson. Where does that fit? Do you automatically put Notre Dame in at 12-0? I don't know. I guess you would. They're undefeated.
Well, let me ask you this. The strength of schedule is going to be, and they beat Stanford. Yes. They would have beaten Southern Cal. Virginia Tech is down.
They beat Michigan. Mm-hmm.
But if Ohio State's the team, that means Michigan's got another loss at least. I don't know. It's I don't know where the strength of schedule factor in.
Ohio State, the eye test of it for me. They're good enough. Notre Dame, if they play now, Michigan's helping them a lot.
Right,
because they're starting to blow people out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stanford is not. The Michigan Tech was ranked at kickoff. They go, I think there's two toughest games are at Northwestern, which is kind of fluky good.
Mm-hmm.
And then at USC, where, look, it's a Texas OU game. If USC's sitting there at 9-2 and having won the Pac-12 South, who says they can't make a run and be a 10-win team or something like that? I think I think they're pretty good. They're not great.
Yeah.
But they're going to be ranked, you would think. So it's. I think the schedule, I'm in the middle of looking that up, you know, where the schedules rank representatively. So, yeah, I don't think Notre Dame is terrible. It may not measure up to Texas, but it's not terrible.
Right.
What I'm hearing from both of you is it's time to expand the playoff, baby. Let's expand it, Dennis Dodd. Make it happen. You're national guy. People listen to you.
Well, I wrote a story in August. I was out at Wisconsin doing some stuff, and there's Barry Alvarez sitting in a chair off the committee nursing a knee replacement, and he said, I think we should go to 6.
Love
and
it.
I think we should expand it, and it's about time, and there's too many teams. Now, that's a self-motivated stance because Wisconsin lost by 6
right
in the champ game last year, and that ended an undefeated season, but he's been in the room, and, guys, he did admit that we screwed up, to your point, Cedric, in 2014 with TCU and Baylor.
Right.
We screwed up by putting them third, TCU, and dropping into 6.
And the Big 12 just got a howl to the moons. If that's the situation, if it's Texas or Notre Dame, and Texas wins a championship, and, well, wait a minute, what standard are we applying?
I hope it happens so they can bring about the expanded playoff.
And, you know, speaking of that, Cedric, we hadn't even mentioned UCF. What if UCF goes 12-0 again? And
yes, then they win another national championship in their media.
And they have a parade, right?
I had somebody else mention that.
Does the CFP just say sorry?
Yeah, they do. I asked that same commissioner about Notre Dame, and he said, more than that, more than Notre Dame, what if on pick'em day UCF has won 25 in a row, two national and two consecutive undefeated seasons? They're going to be screaming from here to high heaven. They've been proven, I think we all agree, a very classy bunch at UCF, right? So far?
Right.
Claiming the championship is not. So what's it going to be like, you know, on December 1st? I think that's a huge deal.
Oh, I do too. And I think maybe that's the impetus to expand to 6 or 8. And I think I speak for Sid. We both like an expanded field. I like 8.
I love 8.
I don't want more than 8. I think 16 would be fun and wonderful, but that's too much. Dilutes the regular season.
There are 8 really good teams
8
every year.
Perfect. Yeah. Don't you think, Dennis?
Yeah. I would go with 6. I think 8 would then allow 2 lost teams in. I don't know how I feel about that. But I like Barry Alvarez's take, and it's Gary Patterson's thing too, where you just have a play-in game, you know, in mid-December when all the bowls begin anyway.
Right.
So your argument about finals goes out the window because you have 10 teams playing on December 15th every year anyway.
Right.
So what are we talking about? So I wouldn't have a problem. I wouldn't have a problem with it.
And what's your CFP Final Four right now as it sits, Dennis? Right now today.
I think Ohio State, Alabama for sure. I don't like what I see from Clemson. The Texas OU because I think they're both quality teams, and as long as Alabama has embraced a pass-first philosophy to make up for their lack of defense, it's not terrible, it's just not as good as it's been. Don't talk to me about Big 12 football. They, one of those, deserve to be in. And then, you know, I watching Notre Dame with the naked eye, I think they are a playoff team.
Yeah, now, I think so, too.
When they changed quarterbacks, the defense was a given. When they changed quarterbacks, and they got this Dexter Williams back, who I had no idea who the kid was. He missed 4 games, I think, because of a pop thing.
Right.
And he's a home run hitter. So I think they're a playoff team.
So you got Ohio State, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Texas ROU, right? Whoever survives.
I think right now,
I think we could get on board with that, couldn't we, Cedric?
I wouldn't know how to act. It's been a minute. I wouldn't know how to act. I'd have to explain to my mom that I'm not going to be in East Texas in December. So.
Uh-oh.
That would be fun. And speaking of Alabama, has Tua already wrapped up the Heisman in your mind, Dennis? Or, you know,
We were all suckered by the Geno Smith winning the Heisman in September year. Remember that? He's unbelievable. They haven't played very many good teams, but they played a Louisville that's down. They played an Ole Miss on their schedule. They played Texas A&M, who's representative in their league. People are making it sound like they played App State every week. They play good teams.
They're really overwhelming. Yeah, they're that good.
I do wish they'd go to the minimum 9 conference games for everybody.
Well, that's a total different discussion.
Sure.
And I don't think, as it sits here right now, I don't think they'll ever do it because there's no motivation. What does it get them? It gets them five road games every other year and a chance to lose that game and get knocked out of the playoffs.
No, I know. But if the CFP is going to say 13th data point, 13th data point, you've got to have it, then I would say, okay, nine conference games. If you want to play in our playoff, you know. So.
But they get, I agree, they get every consideration from the BCS and now the committee for the SEC champion to be in. So what's the motivation?
Right, exactly.
Well, before we let you go, I got to ask you. I was on Twitter and I saw your tweet. You said Baylor coach Matt Rhule might be deserving of some National Coach of the Year love. Why do you think that? And I know they were 1-11 last year, 4-2 now.
Yeah.
What do you think Matt's done to deserve some of that love?
You know, I think just getting him to 4-2. I haven't seen him up close. They outlasted K-State. It was a dumpster fire last year. It looks like they've got a quarterback. I think Texas, since they can score points, I think Texas has to look out this week just from the emotional letdown from Oklahoma.
Right.
I don't think they'll roll over. I think they'll be very competitive. But, look, you have to say that this week because they are playing Texas.
Right.
They're six games better than they were last year at 1-11.
Well, we're big Matt Rhule fans here. And elsewhere, I guess you look at maybe McIntyre for Colorado or Stoops at Kentucky for Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
They might be in the conversation as well. And maybe Tom Herman.
Yeah. Maybe Tom Herman. Yeah. And you never can dismiss Nick Saban. I think we can dismiss Urban Meyer, but that's another whole podcast.
That is. But Nick Saban, he's turned around Alabama from last year. They're so much better this year. So
They're a different kind of undefeated, I guess.
They got their whole definition all by themselves. So,
yeah.
But Dennis, hey, appreciate you being with us again. You're always welcome on Second Thought Podcast, and we love having you, brother.
Hey, it's always a pleasure seeing you guys and being with you guys. Thanks a lot.
Okay, don't be a stranger.
Take care, bro.
Thanks, Dennis. Bye-bye.
All right, you bet.
Duck, the Dallas Cowboys went down to Houston and to a lot of people's chagrin, lost 19-16 in overtime. Jason Garrett has flown to the top of the charts, and it's the wrong chart, dog. It's the coach most likely to be fired in the NFL first. 4th-and-1, you're at the Houston 40.
42, yeah.
And it's overtime.
Right.
You punt.
Right.
Jerry Jones calls him out, basically.
He
did not agree with the call.
That's not good.
Is that the first domino to fall in the coaching mortality of one Jason Garrett?
I would think it would, especially when they're sitting there 2-3. They just shown up and beaten the Detroit Lions at home and got a little bit of momentum.
Big win.
And then they just fall flat on their face again. Houston defense played well. Deshaun Watson barely survived. They've got a terrible offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a terrible offensive line. The Cowboys have weakness at receiver. They don't have a go-to guy.
They have receivers?
Well, they got people line up there.
Jason Garrett talking about we got to do better on 50-50 balls. Dog, those are 40-60 balls.
Yeah, they wish
their receivers
50-50.
Can't go get it. And Dallas fans, quit tweeting about bring Dez back. That ship has sailed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason that Dez Bryant doesn't have a job. Because Dez Bryant is not valued in the NFL marketplace right now.
Now, you mentioned Jason Garrett. How hot is his seat, in your opinion?
I think it's smoking. I think he's in trouble. They got Jacksonville coming in Sunday. I'm going to that game. And I remember a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, when Jacksonville was bad and went into Dallas and won, and Jerry was fuming.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it could come full circle. If Jacksonville goes in there with Blake Bortles, who is, I'm sorry, he's god-awful.
Mm-hmm.
I watched them against the Chiefs. I watched him throw that game away with red zone interceptions.
Average.
The play calling in Jacksonville's bad. They're not handing the ball off on the goal line because they don't have Leonard Fournette. But getting to Jason Garrett, I think that if Jacksonville goes in there and works the Cowboys and they fall to 2-4 and they know they got to go to Washington, which is not horrible, but not good, but good enough to beat Dallas at
rivalry
home.
Rivalry game.
And then you got Tennessee after the bye week and then at Philly. I think Jason Garrett's days are probably numbered.
Yeah, those two games might tell the tale for Jason's future. It really could, because If you lose both of them, you go 2-5, you're done.
I think so.
You're done.
You don't come back from that.
Even in the horrendous NFC East.
Which is the worst division this year.
It's just an abominable that somebody's going to win that right now. It's just terrible. But
you put in your 9 things that you think 7-9 might win the NFC
East.
Yeah,
and I don't know. Maybe that's not crazy.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
So, why is it so bad? Giants, Eli Manning, I think is terrible. We've already done the Cowboys. You know, they have no receivers to
speak
of.
The Redskins just aren't talented.
What do they got? You know, they got a bunch of running backs.
They have Adrian Peterson over the hill. Chris Thompson's a third down back. Samaje Perine is hurt. Alex Smith is decent, but he's not a game breaker. And a receiver, Pierre Garçon, still there?
No, they let him go.
They've got Jameson Crowder.
Yeah, but just average weapons there. And then Philly's going to win that division.
Philly's going to win the division, but Philly's fat and happy because they won the Super Bowl. They're dropping games they've never dropped before. Tennessee Titans go into Philly and win.
Yeah,
that just doesn't happen. And so
I got faith in Peterson though and Carson Wentz. So I think they'll get it.
Because they have talented
around players.
They will. They've had some struggles at running back because of injuries, so it's putting a lot more on Carson Wentz to be a thrower.
Okay, so we're saying the Jason Garrett watch is on Houston. Neither one of us are big Bill O'Brien fans.
No.
They win a game. Their division, you know, has kind of been weird. Jacksonville hadn't played quite as good. Tennessee's played a little better than advertised, but it's not a strong team.
Tennessee
is just Andrew Luck and nobody.
That's a bad team.
Yeah.
Tennessee and Jacksonville 3-2, Houston 2-3. Houston got a couple of they've won a couple of games after that 0-3 starting and got really lucky to win that one before Dallas. So I think that Bill O'Brien is probably in better shape than Jason Garrett. And I'll always believe that he won a power struggle with the GM Rick Smith. I'll always believe that. I don't think that he is the answer for them long term if they want to do great things in an aging AFC where Big Ben and Tom Brady are nearing the end of their careers after running things for a while. So I think that their next coach is probably I think Bill O'Brien, if he doesn't get fired this year, probably won't make it through next year. Okay. I don't think Houston. You think Houston wins more than 8 games? I don't.
No, I think that's probably they're probably an 8-8 team, but if you look at it, Dallas 2-3, Houston 2-3, neither of their divisions are just blowing people's doors off. Houston has Buffalo this weekend, go to Jacksonville, which will probably be a loss, but then they got Miami on a Thursday night, they're off, and then at Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
If one of those teams makes the playoffs, Dallas or Houston, who is it?
I think it's Houston.
I do too. They got weapons, DeAndre Hopkins. One of the best receivers. He's probably one of the best three receivers.
And Deshaun Watson, if they can keep him upright, is a good young quarterback who's getting better. They have playmakers.
Just can't get him killed. That defensive line's got a great pass rush.
And I'm not sure if it's Dak Prescott not just being average or the lack of receivers. Whatever it is.
Maybe a combination.
Yeah, whatever it is. I don't think he's in the class of a Deshaun Watson. And I think it's about playmakers. And Jerry Jones saying that they haven't had a number one receiver in years, throwing a little bit of shade at Dez, but also throw a little bit of shade at yourself. Why didn't you bring in a quality receiver? You knew you were getting rid of Dez Bryant this year. Why didn't you bring in a quality number one? I don't think Allen Hurns has ever been a number one.
No.
And Tavon Austin was never a number one with the Rams.
He's basically a jet sweep kind of guy.
Yeah, and you bring back Bryce Butler and you don't even play him. So what's going on there in Dallas? I think it's going to be bad. I think this is the kind of game that they could get up for. Jacksonville's not going to score a lot of points.
They better after losing 2-3. You're getting close to, you know, being out of it if you don't, you know, turn it around. They're not going to be any wild card coming out of the NFC East.
You're right, and that's why I think I'm probably leaning toward picking Dallas to beat Jacksonville. I don't think Blake Bortles is very good at all. I think he can kill a team, and they got problems up front, and they got problems at running back where they don't have any depth. They just signed Jamal Charles.
Right.
Texas X. So Jamal's been on the shelf for a while. So
yeah. I think they both win this week. I think Houston and Dallas both win, but I give Houston a little bit better chance of maybe putting together and making some kind of playoff run, even with that bad offensive line.
That will do it for episode 114 of On Second Thought. We got to thank our boy Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports for calling in to the little podcast. For the Duck, I'm Seth Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.